Blog Talk Radio.
It's the V-Spot. I'm your host, Dr. Vic Tater. My co-host is Bill Foster. V-Spot Radio is brought to you by Planet Vic Tater Blog Network. Get everything you need and a few things you truly do not want. Only at Planet Vic Tater. Okay, we're on the air. Neil, how are you doing?
Headache.
Oh, hold on, our guest is in.
Already?
We're talking to Typhoon Fred Ottman. Is that how you say your name, sir?
Yes, sir, Fred.
Okay, how are you doing tonight?
Doing excellent. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. This is honestly one of the best weeks of my life. If I was trying to be negative, I would think I was going to die next week or something. Well, sir, we're very excited because this morning, you know, I usually try to contact guests, and you got back to me so quickly, and this came together real fast, so I'm real happy about it.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I'm going out to New Jersey for a big autograph deal up there.
How did you get started in wrestling?
Well, I tell a lot of guys I'm born and raised in Miami, and a lot of the wrestlers used to come through. And when I was just out of high school, they'd come through and train at the same gym that I trained at in Coral Gables, Florida. And I used to talk to them. They used to talk to me all the time, so yeah, because I powerlifted. Played ball in that, and I was pretty big back then, not as big as I got to be, but I mean, it was about a 300-pounder, and guys would talk to me and say, you ever tried this, you ever tried that, you know, because I had wrestled in high school and do all these other things and that, and, you know, and I was always a big wrestling fan here in Florida, and wound up finding out about Malenko had a school in Fort Lauderdale on the weekends, because he lived up in Tampa, so he'd come down on the weekends there and everything. So one time, went up to check it out and liked what I seen, talked to him and talked to his boys. And next thing you know, there I was going up there on the weekends, and then escalated a few months after that, and I moved up to Tampa so I could train, you know, 7 days a week.
All right, and when you were being trained by the Malenkos, what all did they train you in?
What do you mean? I already had a freestyle.
Did they teach you mat wrestling?
I did a lot of mat wrestling in high school and junior high school, and but I went through all that again and everything out there. A little submission stuff here and there that you learn along the way. That way, you're able to take care of yourself. The great Malenko, his best friend at that point was a guy named Carl Gotch, who is actually the guy that took wrestling to Japan back in the day. He was like revered as a god back there. He was him and Luthez probably a couple of the toughest guys in the business as far as amateurs go.
Okay, now was Memphis your first territory to wrestle in?
No, my first territory was in San Antonio, Texas. That's
okay,
where I broke into business there. Trained in Florida. But my first territory, per se, was San Antonio.
Do you remember what your name was when you were working there?
When I first went in there, I wrestled as the Terminator. And then that's what they brought me in as. And then I wrestled as, they changed me to, because Texas, they wanted to make me into a big baby face. So Bubba's a big colloquialism out there. In other words, like, you know, hey Bubba, hey, how you doing, Bubba? So I became Big Bubba at the same time that Ray Traylor became Bubba in WCW. As a matter of fact, when he went over to Japan, they had somehow swapped our pictures out. I have a program that I still have here that somebody gave to me many, many years ago. And it's a picture advertising him on the card with a picture of me on the actual card itself. You know,
well, I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things where they say, all those Americans look alike.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Okay, when you got to Memphis, how did that come about?
Well, I got booked in there. I wrestled about 2 years out in Texas. And I went through about 4 different bookers. I wound up getting booked into Tennessee and working for Lawler and Jerry Jarrett. And I was there for about two and a half years.
Yeah, I saw a YouTube video today when I was looking up stuff, and it was something. It was you having a dance contest with Rocky Johnson.
Yeah, I actually busted a over his head, snapped in 2 pieces across his head in the studio.
Yeah, I was watching that. I remember I was thinking that you were a very good dancer.
Oh, yeah, I'm very light on your feet.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking watching it. How long, eventually you ended up in Florida as the Big Steel Man?
Wrestled here as U.S. Steel, but before I came to Florida, I wrestled up in Billy Jack Haynes tried to start a territory up in he tried to do that deal after I left for a short period. I went to Pensacola, then shot to work for Billy Jack up there. It's Hercules Haggerty, and also that's when I wound up in Florida after I finished up there. Came back to Florida, was hanging out, and they're running the promotion down here, and they brought me in here and changed me to U.S. Steel.
Let me ask you, because I don't want to get my facts wrong or anything. Are you related to Dusty Rhodes? I mean, not by marriage.
I was related by marriage to Dusty Rhodes. That was my ex brother in law. I'm divorced, married a year ago to a girl that I knew from Tennessee back in the day.
Okay, yeah, okay. I just wanted to make sure because I didn't want to,
Cody Reynolds is my nephew, and Dustin, also my other nephew. And, yeah, we're related. And Six of the Nasty Boys is my other brother-in-law.
Oh, okay. That's cool. You wrestled, I was also looking at clips online, and I was following a clip from Germany with you wrestling Otto Wands.
Pardon me?
I saw a clip of you wrestling in Germany, or in Europe against Otto Wands.
Otto Wands in Austria, Graz, Austria. That was my first trip overseas. Mm-hmm.
How was it wrestling over there? Was it hard to get used to the round system?
No, it was, I wrestled, I can do anything, rounds is no big deal. As long as you're in shape, you're okay. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But what was awesome about wrestling there is they would wrestle in the same town for 45 days, and they'd wrestle every single night in the same arena and sell out the arena every night.
Was it hard to try to make your match a little bit different each night since you were having the same crowd?
Oh, it's not a problem at all. For every hold, there's a reverse, and so it's not, especially when you work with a seasoned veteran. Back in the day, the saying was, when you break into the business, when you find the old timers would tell you, when you learn how to work and you learn how to wrestle good, you can have a match with a broom and make the broom look good.
Okay. Going back to Florida for a second, you were working there. That was when Dusty had just left the NWA, and he had started up his own territory there. And I haven't really seen any of this. I just remember from the magazines that you were, I think you had a big feud with Dusty there, didn't you?
I had a big feud with him here. And actually, Diamond Dallas was my manager.
Okay, yeah, because I remember that. I saw that it was one of those issues that had the compilations of, like, interviews from the past, and one of them was Diamond Dallas Page talking about your feud with Dusty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do the magazines, whenever they would have quotes from wrestlers in the magazines, would they ever actually approach you, or would they just make something up?
Some things are interviews, some stuff is stuff that they view in the arena, you know what I'm saying? because a lot of interview, you know, but I got interviewed a lot of times. I mean, and shot different times over in Japan, you know, I mean, Japan, Europe, here in the States, you know, so everything was pretty basic on key with what was going on. I mean, there's a whole, you know, underground of wrestling stuff. When you go to Japan, they have a daily paper, they have weeklies, and they have monthlies. So they're on top. And over there, when I was wrestling there, it was about 7 or 8 men's companies there, and there were about 3 or 4 women's companies. And then you had the shoot companies. There were 3 or 4 of those there. That's where eventually evolved over. 2 or 3 of those came here to the United States during the UFC style of wrestling.
Where did you wrestle at in Japan?
In Japan, I've wrestled with both Vince, and then I wrestled with Tenro.
Okay, yeah, because I remember that. I saw one match you and Quake had with the Road Warriors over there, and that actually had you taking the Doomsday device. Hello?
Hello?
Okay, you're back. Do you remember that match? It was in the Tokyo Dome. You and Quake were taking on the Warriors, and you actually ended up taking a version of the Doomsday device.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that something, is that, were they ever, you know, because I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but were they ever planning to do a blow-off to your feud with the Warriors at WrestleMania? Because I was saying that would have been such a great WrestleMania moment, them actually hitting the Doomsday device.
Well, it was just a lot of different issues that they had, you know, and with us. And so, I mean, I can't really get into very much there.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
I think you're kind of breaking up on us.
Yeah, you guys are breaking up on me.
Okay, yeah, let me see. All right, can you tell me how you got started with the WWF?
Well, when I came back from Europe back here to Florida, they had a meeting. The office guys here had a meeting with me and said that both WCW and WWF were very interested in me. And they said, you know, it's totally up to you what you want to do or something like that. But they were they'd contacted the office here with PWF and relayed they had a meeting set up with me and talked to me and said it was totally up to me, but, you know, and to make the decision about where I'd be interested in going, you know. And, you know, so, you know, going to the WWF was, you know, nothing disrespectful to WCW, but, I mean, it was, you know, where I ultimately aimed to go. That's where, you know, I had my heart and set on going to. And, you know, I was still real, real green when I went up there. But, you know, I said, that's what I want to do. And, you know, and the rest is story. You know, the rest is history.
All right. At that point, I think Dusty was already, had already went to the WWF, hadn't he?
Yeah, he had left here already.
Okay. When you were getting there, what was your...
There were several guys... Pardon me?
No, you can finish first.
Well, there were several guys involved with this office here. It wasn't just a sole Dusty production, you know.
Yeah. Do you remember when you first saw the Tugboat gimmick, when they told you about it?
I remember them having a meeting with me and discussing... Because they came, you know, they developed the gimmick, and I remember it wholeheartedly.
What did you think of it when you saw it?
I thought it'd be fun. It's I'm an immature big boy, you know, and I enjoy watching cartoons and having fun, and I love kids. So that's what I chose that I wanted to do. I said, yeah, it sounds good. Because when they give you a gimmick there, you know, people can only put, you know, you can put a silk dress on a pig, but it's still a pig. Okay, if somebody gives you something, time on TV is very, very expensive. They give you so much time, and it's up to you to get that particular gimmick over or not. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, they gave me the opportunity. I says, I liked it. I figured I could have fun with it and be silly and still be able to wrestle and be a big guy. So, you know, the rest is history, man. It was great. I actually was kind of sad when they sad and happy when they put me with Quake, because he had ran his route with his feud with Hogan, and but they offer, you know, would you be interested in going to him? And I liked Quake, and I thought he's awesome, and both of us were, I mean, here's a guy that's an ex-amateur wrestler. He was on the Olympic team in Canada, okay. Ex-sumo wrestler who was there for over a year, undefeated in Japan. And in Japan is where he broke in the pro ranks with Shoei Baba, okay? So, man, you know, I thought he'd be awesome. And when we put it together, we had great chemistry. Because he was a very good athlete. And for being a big man, light on his
feet. Natural pairing. When you were, when the thing first started, when you became Tugboat, did they have a plan long term that you would turn on Hogan?
There's never, you know, it's where things lie. That's up to the people in the office and how things go as far as feuds go and stuff like that. You know, there's never a long term. I'm sure there's places, you know, you want to get to. But that's up to the powers that be that make those decisions. That's why an individual man doesn't make those decisions. It's all done together, you know, as far as I know.
Yeah, it's just, I think one of the things is fans,
all
when
I did
you see
is
Hulk
my
Hogan
job.
Has a new, when you
Pardon
see
me?
Hulk Hogan has a new, excuse, no, go ahead, sir, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. What were you saying?
No, it was just one of those things that I think as a fan, whenever you see Hulk Hogan as a new friend, especially when it's a big, tough-looking guy, you're kind of counting down the moment when he's going to turn on him.
Well, when he was the Hulkster, you had to bring in big, giant guys to take in, you know. And you had to, you know, you got guys coming, you know, and that's anywhere. You know what I'm saying? You got to have competition to feed that guy, you know, to keep him up there and keep him where he needs to be. Same as a Rocky movie or any other kind of scenario. You know what I'm saying? You have to have a champion. You have to keep them up and coming guys to make it interesting. Or it gets boring and people lose interest.
Okay. Do you remember before SummerSlam 90, they did an angle on the Countdown show where Earthquake injured you?
Pardon me?
Do you remember they did on before SummerSlam 90, you were supposed to be in Hulk's corner, and they did something on the pre-show, like they used to do these pre-SummerSlam shows back then, and they did a match with you and Earthquake where Earthquake injured you?
I cannot remember back then. You know, I wrestled for 17 years, and I wrestled from 250 to 300 days a year for 17 years. So math, and you tell me how many matches I had.
Yeah, they ended up putting Ballspin in the corner, and they were just doing it like, you know, like he'd injured you before the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you, man. I can't even remember.
All right, well, when you got together with Earthquake, you had one match with Hulk Hogan, and it ended up on Coliseum Video. Do you remember that?
Pardon me?
You had one match with Hulk Hogan that made tape as Typhoon.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
No, I sure don't.
Okay, I was curious about
it. That's okay.
No, a friend mentioned it to me because he wanted me to ask about it because we'd seen it and we found it interesting. You know, you only wrestled one time after you turned heel.
Well, that's maybe one time that you've seen, but maybe not so many as far as worldwide, because I wrestled Hulk
right.
A few times, yeah. As Typhoon.
Yeah, Rob, because it would have been on house shows more, so you wouldn't remember yeah, that's one of those things that's probably happened so many times it'd be a blur.
Yes.
Okay, do you remember when they decided to turn you and Earthquake into good guys?
Vaguely.
Okay, so were you happy to be working as a face again?
Well, we were never really true faces. We were more or less a heel face, because that was the deal with us, because we were rough heels. So, you know, it was never, I mean, we weren't kissing baby kind of heels, I mean, kind of baby faces. We were, you know what I'm saying? You have two, you know, it's like us working with IRS and Money Incorporated, you know what I'm saying? Ted DiBiase, you know, it's who you pick, who you want to root for, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, as well as things, you were doing the same things you were doing to the, you were doing the same things you were doing to the good guys before, but now to the bad guys.
Well, yeah, kind of, sort of. I mean, but, you know, we could be as rough and tough and do, you know, do this, we could do heel things and get away with it. You know, if I want to grab the guy by the inside of his mouth, you know, they didn't have a prop, you know, the same people who have been crying about it being done to a baby face, the people wouldn't have a problem with it, me doing it to a heel.
I remember when I was a kid and I...
What?
So you finished, sir.
No, it's okay.
I remember when I was a kid and I really... And when I was a kid, you know, for me, wrestling was like a holy war between good and evil.
Right.
And, you know, and I mean, I would cheer the good guys, even good guys I didn't even particularly like. And I remember there would be bad guys, and you and Quaker went on where I really liked you and I would feel guilty for liking
right.
you.
So well, it's just like, look at how many people love The Undertaker, right?
Yeah.
Here you got a really bad, bad guy, but you can like him, too.
Yeah, there's just something cool about it that draws you in.
Yeah.
You were one of the first guys to work with The Undertaker when he first got there. I think you were like his first feud, weren't you?
I had his first match, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, can you remember that? How was it? Was there any additional growing pains with him trying to figure out how to work like the Dead Man?
No, he was a very good worker. You know what I'm saying? Even from the inception of the gimmick, it was a tremendous, tremendous gimmick. And something you can do with what you want, you know what I'm saying, as far as that type gimmick goes.
Yeah, because I saw one of those matches on tape because I was going through some old Undertaker matches, and I saw you were one of the first matches. And I remember he pinned you with this flying clothesline he would do. Nobody else really did it like him. He would like he kind of leap in the air, kind of catch you with an upper flying uppercut.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you won the tag team titles?
Yep.
Was that done? Do you remember how long in advance did you know you were going to get them?
Well, when we beat them, that's when we knew we got them.
Do you remember wrestling the Beverly Brothers in Wembley Stadium?
Yes, I did.
We were watching that match. Me and my friend were. We were so impressed with how you and Quake, because you guys are such massive guys, but you were really able to work like underdogs for smaller men.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that really impressive, you know, because not everybody can do that. To have such a huge size advantage and still be able to seem like an underdog.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, being able to do your job the best you can. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As a wrestler in the arena, it's your, you know, you should be able to take and bring a fan up and set them down. And also be able to take and show them something they've never seen before. You know, you orchestrate the match. The fans don't orchestrate the match. You know, understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know personally as a fan, you know, when I'm watching wrestling, I just want to be taken for a ride. You know, I don't, you know, I'm not going to try to dictate one way or another. I want to, you know, just have fun.
A guy that trained me once told me, you can pick out a person in the crowd, okay, and you can bring them up out of their chair and sit them back in their seat, make them mad, and make them cry. You've become a pretty good hand at your job as a wrestler by being able to control their emotions. You know what I'm saying? It's like a guy in a massive audience in a house show, and the guy sits and grabs a hold, and the audience starts going boring, boring. It's usually the smart marks that do something like that. Boring. And you know what? If you wait long enough, they stop chanting that, they get pissed off, and then you do something and bring them back up off their feet again. You never let them control the match.
Yeah, exactly. Because I always hate when I hear people say doing that, and I always like when a wrestler just clamps on a headlock or something, you know, until they shut up.
Well, it's a lot of people get up frustrated. The younger, greener guys will get frustrated because, you know what I'm saying, they feel, you know, you know, they're letting the audience get to them. They're letting the few smart marks that haven't got a clue, that have never taken a bump, try to take and manipulate a match, which they can manipulate the match. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it always drives me crazy when people are chanting. You know, I've seen people start chanting that, and a match has only been going on for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, what do they expect?
It's not that. They just want to see what they can do. They want to see if they can ruffle your feathers. They want to see if they can promote you to make you work. You don't have to do nothing. I've seen guys sit down and will piss the crowd off. You know what I'm saying? There's ways to work. I'm not going to say what you can do or how you can do it, but there's ways. You know what I'm saying? When you learn this business, you know what I'm saying? It is a business. It's entertainment. Okay? And, you know, nobody teaches me my job.
You and Earthquake seemed, and I remember as a kid thinking this, you know, watching it, you know, that it seemed like y'all lost the tag team titles very abruptly.
Yeah. Well, we won them a couple of times, so, you know, just the way things are sometimes. You know, things happen, things, you know, we don't control these things. We're
right,
but a pawn in the game of life. You know?
Yeah, and it seemed like after it happened that you and Quake were not teaming regularly, then around the 93 Rumble, it seemed like the team was kind of broke up, and you turned up on Raw a couple of times before you went to WCW.
Well, I had actually left to open a business, two businesses that I had to go take care of because my brother-in-law was shot and killed. That's what took me out of WWE.
Out
of there. That's okay. There's nothing to be sorry about. You know, he's in a better place. You know, but I had to do what I had to do. It was after that I went to WCW. And that was no time either.
Yeah. I'm sure people have asked you to death about the whole debut as the Shockmaster, you know, and I, you know, because they did this thing right after that where you showed up on TV wearing a mask and you were calling yourself the Super Shockmaster.
That was the same gimmick.
Right. You were saying, and you did this interview with Tony Schiavone where you said that the one that was at the Clash of the Champions was your brother.
I have no idea. I don't remember that.
Yeah,
I don't remember. Because the whole thing about the Clash of Champions was to go into the match in New Orleans. Because the one that bashed the beach, which was a live show, is where that thing took place. Where the bottom of the wall didn't break out.
Right. I was going to... it's on YouTube. The match is. Later, I'll send you a link if you want to see it.
I have it. I have a copy.
Yeah. The one that... Because you were wearing like the... You weren't dressed like you were through most of the WCW. You like had some purple or blue and yellow thing.
Well, that was my wrestling tights.
Yeah.
That's the wrestling tights I was going to wear. That thing where I went out there, debut, was in a pair of jeans, boots, cowboy boots, and the cape that was with it, and the hat, just for the interview. That wasn't the wrestling gear.
You know, the thing that always honestly impressed me about it is, like, you know, for such a big guy, you got back to your feet so fast.
Yep. I'm pretty quick,
man. A lot of people don't realize this, you know. Like, I always see, you know, like, how you and Quake can get back to your feet after doing a move so fast. And because I know this, you know, because I'm a big guy myself, you know, or I'll see even regular people fall. It takes them about a minute to get back to their feet, and you guys can just pop back up.
Yep. It's springs in my feet.
Yeah, it's like, but I was also going to mention, you know, just going back to Earthquake, I was watching some of your matches earlier. I think some of them. Hold on 1 second, sir. We're about to go into streaming. The streaming's about to end, and we're going to be recording.
Okay.
Okay, I just didn't want to cut you off or anything.
No problem.
All right. Just watching you in Earthquake, it seemed like y'all were always having fun in the ring.
Well, I had a great tag team partner, man. We did have fun. You know, like I said, we could do whatever we wanted to. It wasn't like, even when we were baby faces, we were heel faces, because we could, you know, we could work just the same way as we always worked. You know what I'm saying? It's just people liked us better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I was watching that match that I sent you, the one with the Executioners, and I really loved how they came in there, like they were going to try to charge you like the Road Warriors would.
Right.
But they can't do it because, you know, they're not as strong, and you and Quake were just tossing them around. At one point, one of the Executioners tried to hit you with the double clothesline.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
That's like one of my favorite squash matches I've ever seen.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I love that match. I watched you guys hit some really nice suplexes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't realize that, because I remember back when I was making that video, I didn't realize you had so many suplexes. Oh, yeah, my friend wanted to tell you that you had the best big splash ever.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, because, man, I'll agree with that, because, I mean, you got some great height on it.
Oh, yeah.
I was telling him, I said, it's you, then Young Mark Henry, then Vader, as far as
yeah.
big splashes go.
Yeah, Mark Henry's a real good guy, Vader, too.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, because I've always loved the big man wrestlers, because as a kid I was big.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was a heavy kid, you know, and when I was a kid I'd see the wrestlers, you know, like you and Earthquake and Vader, and I'd think, you know, they don't take crap from nobody, you know, and I shouldn't either.
Right.
You know, and that's always important, you know, and I said now heavy set kids don't have anybody to look up to except Santa Claus.
Yeah. But a lot of big guys come into the business, too, that want to be Superman. And they got to remember that Andre the Giant was one of the biggest men in the business. And he could sell like a little guy.
Right.
And make a smaller guy look good.
Exactly. Exactly. Because that's what I always appreciate when I'll see a guy, you know, I'll be watching, you know, big guy and little guy. And, you know, the big guy, you know, he can make that little guy look like he's the toughest guy around.
Exactly. You're only as good, it takes, in a singles match, it takes three people to make a good match. Both the opponents and the referee. If there's fault in any of those three, the match won't be good.
Have you ever had a referee, has a referee ever brought a match down you were in?
In some places I've worked, never with the WWE or WCW, you know, but I've worked for some small companies back in the day, or they tried bringing gimmick referees and stuff like that, where there was some older guys that just kind of went through the motions instead of actually being a good referee, an active referee, you know what I'm saying? Being an
yeah.
active referee, not stealing away from the match, being an active referee is being part of the match, you know what I'm saying, and knowing what you do, because the referee, just like I see a lot of young wrestlers that disrespect the referee, and the referee is the law in the ring, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He can make and break
exactly.
the match. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Exactly, I understand. Yeah.
It's not more than just politics. You know, the referee is the law, and having a good referee, you know what I'm saying, and not a babyface referee, but a fair referee that, you know what I'm saying, knows what he's doing is very important.
Right. It's like a referee, like you would treat the referee like it was an official at a football game or a boxing match or what have you.
Yeah. My son trained at FCW here in Tampa as a referee. And, he, you know, he's learning television production right now. But he's very, very good. Very, very. He's the kind of referee, flip over guys. I mean, just a really good referee. You know, very. You know, very good. You know, and that's important. It's very important.
Yeah. After you got done in WCW in 93, you never really seemed to quite turn up again. I was wondering, I remember reading back in 97 that WCW was talking about bringing you in to team up with Earthquake again. Is there any truth to that?
It was never approached to me. I have no idea.
I was
still wrestling pretty active, but overseas in Europe and in Asia, you know, and doing some independent stuff. But not one of the two big companies. That way, plus I was busy at home with my family life.
Right, and you were able to, it was probably less stressful.
You know, well, I had business that I had to take care of, and in my daily life also, I have three children, so that kept me pretty busy also. You know, so I'd like to pick and choose and, you know, not being away from home as much. That way I could go, if I wanted to go on a tour to Japan for 4 weeks, I'd go there and come back and be home for, a month or so, and then do some independence here, or go over and do a shot in a week or so in Germany or Great Britain, you know what I'm saying? So I was flexible as far as that goes. You know, I wasn't as active as I was before working for one company, but I stayed pretty active, and, you know, it was good for me at the time.
Are you still wrestling?
Am I still wrestling? No. Matter of fact, I've just had, I tore an Achilles tendon in my left foot, and I had some surgery in actually both of my lower legs, where they cut some pieces of vein out, so from wrestling. So I've been not doing very much for the last almost 6 months, you know, and I'm fixing to go. I'm going to do an autograph deal, a couple of them up in New York and in New Jersey this weekend, and then I'm coming back so I can start my therapy on my legs and stuff like that. So, I got the approval to go back in the gym, so I'm real happy about that because it's been 6 months since I've been able to train. And, I'll get my place back where I need to be as far as physically.
Yeah,
but, yeah, no wrestling.
All right.
No wrestling.
Well, I mean, good luck to you. I hope you feel better.
Actually, me and my wife run a beautiful hotel on Clearwater Beach. And they're fixing to open another 100-room hotel in St. Petersburg. So we'll be pretty busy here also.
Yeah. Have you ever met the wrestler came along later? He called it the Hurricane.
No, I've never met him. Never met him.
Yeah. I always thought that. I always thought that would have been a fun thing to do, have the Hurricane team with Typhoon.
Maybe. Never met him. Never met him.
Okay, yeah, it was just one of those thoughts that was going through my head.
Right.
Sir, thank you very much for talking to us.
No problem. I'm glad you got me on your show, and I'd like to say thank you very much for all the fans that gave me support over the years.
I really appreciate it. I would talk to you longer, but they're about to cut us off.
That's all right. If anybody ever wants to say hi, I'm on Facebook, Fred Ottman, and they can call me.
All right.
And talk, you know, yeah, you know.
Will do. We've been breaking up with you through the call. I don't know what's going on with our phone.
All right. That's okay. No problem.
Right.
Anytime you want to talk, just give me a buzz.
All right, man. You have a good night.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.